is to tell you how this book came about. It's titled Holden Village Historic Iris. And then I'd like to tell you how it became what it wound up being, which was different than what we started out to do. And then I'll tell you some stories, both from the Myers era and from the early Holden Village era. And we'll begin to see how those two cultures are linked and how you folks play such a pivotal role in forming that link, unbeknownst to yourselves. So you live, your memory really lives on in many of the things that the Holden Village people did after you left. And then I'll show you some pictures. And most of those pictures, all the pictures really come from the book. And some of the ones that I've taken, some Jerry took, some others took. And hopefully we will be done well before dinner time and you can escape. Short story of how the book came about. In the year 2002, a lady by the name of Roxanne Grinstead, who was a longtime Holden person involved with the gardens that you see in the main village area, got interested in these irises that she was messing with in the gardens. She had heard some stories, but decided to get real particular about it, because if you arrive here in July, what you see is just an enormous rainbow of colors, and it's irises. There's well over 40 types of irises up here, all colors, and it's just glorious. But she knew that some were old, i.e. from your era, but some had come in with succeeding groups of people, i.e. more modern irises. And you can, there's some typical differences. The irises of the 30s and 40s are a more simple form. They don't have all the frills and fancinesses that the modern irises have. And the modern irises are a thicker structure. They wanted them to be more resilient under harsh weather conditions. So you find that they're a thicker fall and a thicker standard. And the historic irises, I glibly call them historic irises, and there's also a historic iris society, apart from the American Iris Society, there's a historic iris society. And they have a much finer structure, and when it rains on them, they almost become translucent. They're really very beautiful, but they're delicate. They don't hold up too well sometimes under harsh weather conditions. So that's some of the things you'll see as we go through this process. And of the 35 or 36 images that are in the book, about 16 of them we figure are from that earlier era, mostly due to structure and in large part due to the fact that we've gone out into the Winston Camp area, and we've identified them as growing there. We've taken pictures of them growing there. And some we've taken samples of, and we're taking them back to Seattle, because out in the woods they don't grow, they don't blossom every year. It seems like it takes two or three years to get up enough steam to pop out a blossom. And so we've taken them to Seattle and we've grown them there. And we said, okay, that comes from site two, and that's a winter sun, what we call a winter sun. So we've gone through all of that. But at any rate, Roxanne started that process. Another thing she did was to begin naming these irises. And that's what you do when you don't know the real name of the iris, you just give a name. And she did that in the spirit of Holden. Some of the names relate to the geography, some to the culture of the area, of the village. Many will refer to cultures that you're familiar with and places you're familiar with. And so then I come along, and I love to take pictures of flowers, so people got us together. And so we decided to volunteer our efforts and create a little book that described the irises. The next thing that happened was the current directors were administering a grant from the Lilly Foundation, and they figured they had a little bit of publication money that would be nicely spent on this project. And that empowered us to do a book that has a lot of nice color pictures in it. Otherwise, it was just going to be too expensive for us, Roxanne and I, to foot the bill for it. It was going to have to be smaller, it was going to have to be some black and white, and that sounded boring. So they really saved our bacon, but it came with strings. They said, the grant requires that whatever we do with it needs to really talk about the culture. It can't be just a boring flower description. So all of a sudden, we had a new charge. Where does that information come from? So Linda shows up. We had met before, but all of a sudden, she becomes a really important person for us because she links us with all of you, which was just a fabulous gift. And we did the survey, and you shared your stories with us. And then I surveyed on my own the people that I had reasonably easy access to, the early Holden people, and they gave me wonderful stories. And so that empowered us to put all the culture and history into the Iris book. And that made it what it is. That's how all of this came about. So from all of that, then, you've got this book. And so what I'd like to do then is to begin to tell you the stories that make it come alive. And I'll start with the Holden, early Holden people stories, so that you can see how they built on what you provided, the foundation that you folks provided unwittingly for the Holden village people. It turns out that there was a lady by the name of Gertrude Lundholm, and she and some others decided that this place was just flat boring and it needed some sprucing up. And they knew that there used to be some lovely flower gardens and gardens in the miners' village. They called it the miners' village. You called it Winston Camp or Winston. And so they went out into the woods and they started digging. And the story is two parts of the story. These women really got into it and they decided to form a little club and they called it the Women's Wildflower Club. Well, the husbands decided that there needed to be a slight change in the name of this organization. And so they very subtly and quietly spread the word that it was not the Women's Wildflower Club, it was the Wild Women's Flower Club. So now you begin to form an image of people who are really committed to this whole subject of beautifying the grounds here. And the next thing, the next story that you hear is that is the one where the current directors like Paul Hendrily, who welcomed you today in the dining hall, he remembers his mother and the others coming out of the woods pulling carts, and they had dug up the iris rhizomes from the various flower beds, and they planted. So that was the beginning. What you left, they loved, and they nurtured those, and then subsequently, obviously, they added to them. Well, if you have a chance to talk with, I had a chance to visit by email, with the first business manager, Warren Jensen. And he says, well, there's more to the story than that. He says when they brought those rhizomes over, they discovered that the ground in the main compound wasn't worth a shot of powder. He said, the good ground was in your gardens, in the old village. Back to the village, back to Winston. Out comes the good dirt for the gardens. And he says, it was just flat amazing for the first couple of years. He says, the most wonderful things grew from this dirt. He says, they had all kinds of flowers and seeds. And he says, it was just wondrous. So he says, we always wondered what was going to come up this spring. So again, what you left was well used. And it's still there. You live on in these gardens. It's really kind of cool. So you're linked that way. And you're linked in other ways because they tell stories about how these irises have moved on to other people's gardens outside of Bolden. They not only brought them in, but they've taken them out. So your irises have moved on to other places in the country. And in the stories that you shared with me, you've told me where those irises came from. And in some cases, where they went to, and I'll read you a story about that. So, other funny stories that the early Holden people told me was that they decided they wanted to add to what you had done. So they bought a whole bunch of what they call, quote, imported bulbs. You know, they probably ordered Holland tulips or whatever. And they brought them in and they planted them in the gardens. Well, the ground squirrels promptly proceeded to have a feast day. Failed experiment. That didn't work. I guess they found out was that you guys did well with irises because the deers didn't like to eat them and the animals didn't like to eat them. But at any rate, they began to experiment with other things. And thus, you know, when irises are out of season, you see a lot of other things. So those types of things were part and parcel of building on what you left behind. So now let me read, share with you a few of the stories that came back with the surveys. As I understand it, one family that's going to be here in force is the Davidson family. I guess that she comes from the Rogers family, is that correct? Yeah, the Rogers family. And what I'm going to do, where's my glasses? What I'm going to do is read to you a section of her email, and then I'll read to you something that her daughter wrote. And I might be able to get through without choking up. I don't know. Anyway, here we go. I've not read this poem that she wrote, the daughter wrote, without choking up, so bear with me. She says, I remember my mother and her flower beds of irises and pansies. There were others too, such as trilliums and daisies, but the irises were the ones I remember most. She says, we went back to Holden in 1982, for the first time after leaving in 1957. Even though our home was gone, the big cement retaining wall that led up the stairs to our house was still intact. It was there that I saw, after these many years, the irises were still blooming in my mother's flower bed. I dug some of them up and kept them alive to be sent to my mother, who lived in New Mexico then. And my daughter composed a poem to her grandmother, and we mailed the flowers and a poem to her. She says, I just wanted you to know how much my memories were brought forth with your letter. So here's the poem that her daughter, the granddaughter, wrote. And her daughter's name is Gwen Cox. She says, memories exist in this album, I'm told, of people and places that have grown old. Irises planted some four decades higher. Purple and gold are still growing there. The flowers filled my heart with such awe, disbelief with all that is gone. These that I saw were planted by you, Ma, and your flower bed, still thriving, standing, and holding their heads. As to springtime's remembered for some 40 years. And now they stand and bring back my tears. I've spaded and brought them back, Mom, to you. Refreshing memories rushed back into me. These flowers meant just so much then as they do now. Remembering back when, letting you know that all things are stayed. People, places, and flowers from memories made. Mom, this album was made for your heart, just as you gave these flowers their start. So, the iris is just a powerful link, and it's through three generations, and it's traveled across the country, and It continues to trend. Another great story was from Alva Renee Plimpton. She says, "Dear Mr. Howard, I have no idea what each was informally named. I sent you 9 pictures of irises. She says, "It's a deep purple I got from my mother, who lived in Texas. And though most of my life was spent in Wisconsin, she says, I got all the rest of my irises from my mother-in-law's garden in Mount Hope, Wisconsin. So these irises have traveled from Texas and from Wisconsin to here, where my husband was born and raised. They, the people in Holden, must have formed a garden club," because I asked all of you about a garden club. She wasn't aware of that. She says, "must have formed a garden club after I left. Because I didn't have children the first 4 years we lived there, and I seem to have been in everything." So she was the garden club. "The only real flower garden I remember was of the very first house starting up the hill. And they had a long rock wall that came down to a triangle. And I think it was a log house, large, and the flowers were beautiful there. The happiest years of my life, I think, were in Holden. I loved it there. Everyone had kids but me, and I hiked all over those mountains alone. I'd go up to the Heart Lake, jump over the little falls, sit on that huge rock with the falls on each side of me, and eat a lunch. It was so beautiful. I never could jump over that little falls to get on the other huge rock after I had my first baby." Responsibilities, I guess. "Now, how I loved the way we dressed up in our long gowns, threw the skirts up over our shoulders, and hiked down to the rec hall in our high boots, carrying our dance shoes for the New Year's ball. Of course, the Muckers ball was also fun. Our round and square dance club was another highlight, and sometimes a group of us would sleigh ride, and have hot chocolate around a campfire in the snow. Yeah, I'm 89 now, and all my special friends from there are gone. But I hope I have such wonderful memories. Good luck with your book." Her sister writes, and she says, "I would like you to know more about my sister, as she is a very special person. She will be 89 on the 18th of April, has had 2 hip replacements, been near death twice during surgery, and still paddles with the breast cancer survivors in the Phoenix Dragon boats on the Willamette River. She goes to her practice drills as well as aquasize classes 3 times a week. I cannot begin to keep up with her." So those are some of the stories to share. Another lady, Diane Recknagel, says she had some flowers, some violets. She recognizes some of the irises, but she says, "I dug up some irises from the John Adams yard, our neighbors, years ago, and have moved them with me as they have multiplied from house to house. I think they were mostly some 4s and 1s. In other words, she was naming some of the flowers. But, you know, this lady says, we didn't call them irises, we called them flags. And I remember that from when I was growing up in St. Louis. They were irises, they were flags. So, It was really wonderful to get all of those stories, and again, it just validates the fact that they've moved through the generations and they've moved around the country. And I don't know that many flowers do that. And as I, yes, ma'am.
My husband, without me knowing about it, dug up some rhizomes when we were up here for our reunion. They have gone with me every time we have moved, and they're back. We moved to Ephrata, they're back in Ephrata, and they're in the ground.
I love it.
They're out of the front yard.
Well, I don't know how many people I've talked to since I started all of this that have an iris story of one form or another. And I don't hear that about roses. I don't hear about pansies. and I think it would have picked up on that. But the iris seems to be kind of unique in that regard. So it was a real privilege to, you know, be, you know, document a little of all of this. I think what I'd like to do now is show some pictures. And I'll just kind of glibly talk about these, and Jerry will help me go through these. This is Gertrude, and she was the spirit behind all of this. She always had a twinkle in her eye. And what was the phrase that she used?
May the spirit of God disturb you.
Disturb you. When you pass the peace at, you know, during church service, that's what she would say.
Which is why the fire alarm system is named Gertrude, by the way.
Oh, is that right?
If you look at the box out here, where the fire alarm system is, it says it has a sticker named Gertrude on it.
So she was one of the key people that took your gift and grew it into what it is today. A riot of color, a rainbow of welcome in July. The place is just beautiful. Okay. Lady on the right is Roxanne Grinstead, and this was taken when she started going out into the Winston Camp area and sorting out what was growing out there versus what was had been added to the village here. Okay. Then I come along and I start my list making and plotting and things like that. And here we're taking pictures. This picture was taken where Elva Renee Plimpton's house was. So we're in her backyard at this point. And I didn't realize that until she sent along with her response a diagram of her backyard. She sat down and drew out a line drawing of her backyard and showed where all these things were. It was just fabulous. Okay, go ahead. And these are some of the flowers and taken in her backyard. Okay. Now we're going to start a sequence of flowers that are in the book, and they're in the same order as they are in the book. And what I've done in the text is to, in most cases, there's a physical description of the flower. In other words, medium size, it's big and tall, or whatever, and this is what its color combinations are, and so on. But the second paragraph, and most of them have a second paragraph, and the second paragraph is the history and the culture that links the name and the place and the two cultures that were here, the Mayan community and Holden Village. So this one is Copper Mountain. Copper Peak, pardon me, and you know, the link is obvious. It's a geographical feature. It was the source of all of your labors, and it's what you saw first thing in the morning. It's what you saw first thing at the end of the day. It was always there. And I imagine you as miners heard the raucous sounds that came from the mine all the time. The sound went on and on and on. We don't hear the sound, but you probably still do. Okay? This is what we call sunrise. It's a lovely yellow flower with a simple, straight fall to it, and standards that touch at the top. And it's going to be real similar to the next image you see. But notice how the veins come almost all the way right to the edge of the fall. Okay, now go to the next image. This is sunset. Now the tips of these falls don't have veins all the way to them, so it's a darkness. It's like the sun has set relative to the first one. And, you know, sunrise is a big deal here in the spring when the first direct rays of sunlight get into the valley. Otherwise, you're getting reflected light. But when sunrise comes in the spring, it's a big deal. They celebrate it here a lot. This is called blue velvet. It's a lovely flower. I found it growing up right under a tree, kind of upslope in the far toward the far end of the village, and it's a larger blossom. But again, the simple fault. There's no frills. It's shaped a little bit differently than the others. It's kind of got a blunt end to it, a little notch. But, okay, next. This is called buckskin. They discovered this growing out in the village, and they were sitting there debating what in the world to call it, and somebody just looks up and says, well, there's buckskin. Why don't we call it buckskin? So that's how it got its name. But again, these veins are very typical of older irises. In the breeding of irises, somebody at some point decided that that wasn't really that attractive a feature. So we'll get rid of that feature. But they're kind of coming back into fashion now. So you're beginning to see maybe some more of that. But that got bred out of modern irises by and large. Okay, go ahead. My Blue Heaven, just a simple, elegant flower. It's a medium-sized flower, but it's on a really tall stem. It's a very tall flower. Okay, next one. This one called Winter Sun, and it's just a lovely, very, very pale yellow fall, and a nice light yellow standard. With gold beards. The beards are the fuzzy things that come out of the throat. Those are the landing pads. The throat is the landing pads for the bees, you see. Okay? This is called Deep Purple Dreams. Got a beautiful purple color to it with almost translucent white all of a sudden, I'm going to see your moment here. What did I just call it?
Beers,
thanks. But it's a uniform color. It's not a bi-toned or anything like that. There is another section in the book that talks the technical terms of the flowers and how you identify them if you were going to go into a regular iris book and try to sort things out. The way we've written the book is that I give you those terminologies up front, link it to the flower descriptions, so that if you want to kind of take a tour during iris season, you can do that, and you get a cultural tour, you get a technical iris tour, and you get a garden tour, all kind of wrapped up into one bundle. And then there's irises that aren't in the book because, you know, you have to be here 2 or 3 years running for the whole season to identify all these things, and none of us have been here like. So we know that there's irises we haven't gotten yet. So you get to find irises that we haven't gotten if you're here in the season. Okay, go ahead. This is called Simplicity. It's a smallish flower. I've only seen it blooming once down by the snack bar. One plant, one bloom. And I've looked for it the following 2 years and it hasn't come up. I missed it. What's this one? This is Miner's Wives. We figured that they ought to be recognized fully in this whole scheme of things for all of the things that they did, including working in the lodge and the snack bar and at home doing all the chores. Okay, next one. This is Bonanza. Another geographical landmark. It's got really electric blue colors to it. It's not totally captured by this image, but it's just electric in color. Okay. This is called Amethyst Vein, in reference to the mine and some of the things you might find in there. Okay. This is Welcome. And this is the first flower that I saw blooming in Winston. I was walking along the main road by the river, and I looked up, and there was a set of stairs going up to where the home would have sat. And right at the top of the stairs was a stand of irises, and it was just saying, welcome, come on in, visit with us in this place. So it's named Welcome. Okay. We've called this one Classic, and this is probably the most common form and color combination of irises, early irises. This is what I remember in my mom's gardens in St. Louis when I was growing up. This is what we call the flags. Okay. This is called Feast. It's in honor of the fabulous food, quantities of food, and celebrations that we have here at Holden. And I'm sure that you as miners recall a lot of good times around the table and in gatherings where you had equally as good a selection of food. Okay. This one is called Matins, and the next image you'll see is called Vespers, and these, of course, bracket the morning and the evening prayer services that are common to Holden Village, the culture we have today. This is Vespers. Okay. This is called Holden Golden. Lovely golden color throughout. Even the beards are gold, just gorgeous golden color, and just represent all of the golden memories that people have and the golden opportunities that are prevalent in and around this village that we have. Okay. This is called North Star. It probably has the longest falls of any of the flowers, and it's almost translucent. If you look through this, you see it's kind of a blue-white when there's rain on it especially. It's very delicate. If it rains on this flower, it just kind of goes just like that. But it's a lovely old-style flower. And it reminds me of the fabulous night skies that we've got here. Last night we were out and sitting on the porch, clear sky, just a swath of a Milky Way, and you could see the Big Dipper and everything. It was just great. So that is commemorating the beautiful skies we have here at night. Okay, next. This is a dark brown, chocolate brown flower. It's called Wee Bit of Chocolate, and they figured that something ought to commemorate the sweetness of life in this valley, and the treats that we have at the snack bar, ice cream, things like that. Okay. This is called Hilarity. Now, I'm sure that you guys didn't have any fun parties or anything up here as miners, so Hilarity doesn't mean much to you, probably, I'm sure. It turns out that Hilarity was not only a big part of your life, it's a big part of the Holden life, Holden Village life. It's actually a key word in the mission statement for Holden Village. We will have fun here. Okay? This is called Prayer. And I imagine you as miners said a lot of prayers as your loved ones went down those deep shafts. It was dangerous, obviously. Okay. This is called Sauna Embers. It is reminiscent. It's named after the sauna that is now in the village. I don't know that you guys had a sauna, but they have one now. So it might not be a direct link to your era. Okay, next one. This is called Lorna Doone. Seems like I remember a cookie by that name. But it's named after a lady who brought a lot of flowers to Holden. Okay, next one. This is called Jubilee. It celebrates the name of Jubilee, the event of Jubilee, where there's a lot of forgiveness and sharing and giving. I imagine that there was a lot of sharing and giving and forgiving that went on in the mining community as well. Okay. Velvet Glacier, that reminds us of the beauty of the glaciers that we have in the valley and the delicacy of that infrastructure. This is a delicate flower, and the glaciers, as we're discovering, are delicate things as well. As we have the gradual warming of our climate, they are slowly disappearing. But, That's memory of the glaciers. Okay. This is called hospitality, and from the stories that I've read and heard, Holden Mining Camp, Winston Camp, was a fabulously welcoming place, full of hospitality and good fellowship. And that's common in the modern Holden community as well. It's a big deal. And so that spirit has remained in this valley. It's like it informs anybody who comes in that that's what's supposed to happen here. Okay, go on. This is called stitchery. little polka dots, it looks like somebody stitched the color into the flower. And from what I've heard and read in your stories, there was a lot of stitchery that went on as you had your fundraisers for the Orthopedic Guild and the Scouts and things like that. You had your fundraisers and your parties and you raised money for things like that. And that spirit continues on into this day. There's a lot of artistic work. The weaving and the looms that they've got here are just elegant, and the products are just as pretty as some of the things that you guys did. I understand, see, Linda told me about the dolls that were made and the clothes for the dolls that were made and that are still kept by many of you. So that spirit lives on. Okay, go on. This is called Midnight. It's a very deep, dark color. And that reminds me of what some of those mine shafts must have been like. Mm-hmm. Just darkness. I can't imagine going down there. Okay, go ahead. This is called Narnia. It commemorates the school that was near and dear to a lot of you. Several people reminisced about Mrs. Field, who was a teacher. And those who responded to the survey, I wrote back and told them that I had found out that Mrs. Field is still alive. She's 103 and lives in Portland and is still quite vital. They wrote back and said, really? Oh, yes, she was really important to us. And the school is still important. It's quite a fabulous place. So your gift of the school continues and is well used. Okay, go ahead. It's called Angels. Holden has had a lot of angels, and I'm sure there were these were the people who were pivotal in making this thing work and still make it work. And you had your fair share of angels to watch over you as you went down into the mines and worked and lived in that dangerous environment. Okay. This is called Artistry. It's really kind of different. It's got this beautiful blue stripe that comes down the fall. And then it's got a little bit of that stitchery associated with it. It's a really very, very striking flower. And again, the artistry that went with making the dolls and things like that lives on here at Holden. You see the artwork all over the place. It's a big part of the culture here. Okay, next one. This one's called Batik, and it's the only one of the flowers. This is a modern flower, obviously. It's the only one of the flowers that we know the real name of. And this was a national award winner in 1992 in its category. And it's a new introduction to the collection here. Okay, one more picture. This is called Holden Bells. It's not a bearded iris. That's a Siberian iris, but it's very prevalent here. And we named it Bells because the bells play a continuing role in Holden, and it's really lovely during the full-up summer season. There, you wake up to, clarion?
Chimes.
Chimes. And so there's all sorts of variations on the bells in the daily routine of Holden. Okay, now what comes next? Now it gets a little bit, back up one.
No, we don't need that.
There you go. I just had to do that, you know. But I mean, you know, it's because of Linda that we've got a lot of this that happened, you know, and so I needed to say thanks again. And then the next image is the famous plot plan, and I was, you know, if you blow that up, the resolution is such that you can read the family names on all the plots. And the people who responded to the surveys, they all circled their family plot or plots and said, you know, we lived here and then we moved here. And when I got married, I moved to this house and so on. So I've overlaid on that my locations for the various irises that are growing in the woods. So I overlaid onto that where the irises are currently growing. Okay, go ahead. Now, one of the responders sent a picture. Now, I had asked for pictures of gardens, and you can see that there's some iris plants. There's no blossoms, but you can see poppies and all sorts of things. And this is Caius Whippy. Is that correct?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, right. And she said that she was here with her boyfriend, fiancé at the time, and they have subsequently married and been married for 60 years. And that's out behind Chalet number 6 where they lived. And I showed that to the current residents of Chalet 6. And they said, oh, I wonder about that stump. You know, and what was there? What was that wall all about? And so they just came alive and said, oh, this is so cool. And then so I wrote her back. And I said, oh, by the way, that stump is still there. So we've got these notes going back and forth, and it's been a lot of fun. But you know, you folks listed the flowers that you grew, and I've got that. That's all part of this notebook that I'll give them. Okay, go ahead. Then I just took some general pictures. You know, we were just looking at this view last night, and up in the notch there, you know, you had Venus moving through and all of that. That's always, and then there's times when the moon is just moving through. It's just really dramatic. Good stuff. Okay. Now you're looking up the valley to the glaciers we were talking about earlier. Okay. And in the book we had to have some fun. You know, can you find where the deer fawn is in the picture? They were out taking flower pictures one year and said, wait a minute, there's something else here. And that fawn just didn't even move. Just stayed right there. Mother was over off looking at this whole thing. So, okay, go ahead. Then there was a second fawn they found. They found two of them, and both of them were just like stones. This little bit of history from the Holden era. This is Roxanne Grinstead, her husband, new husband in 1970. They did their honeymoon up here. So she has a long relationship with the place. Okay, go ahead. These are some of the other pictures that were taken up by Ms. Plimpton's place. Continuation of that. We're talking about artistry. This is some of the artwork. This is a silk painting. And so, you know, this is all part of the naming of the flowers and the culture that we have here. Okay. And feast. Outdoor barbecue, salmon, delicious stuff. Just a quick dark view of the village from the tailings. You do a good job on that one. And then the welcome pole, indicating our hospitality and how it's institutionalized in that old stump. They carved that thing up and colored it, and it's called the welcome pole. Okay?
And that's it.
That should be it. Okay. So, thank you for putting up with me.